We've been talking about what it's like to be a freed person in Christ. And that freedom is something that a lot of people just really can't appreciate because they don't know it. They're trying to get through their life using the tools that a broken world gives them and living as captives to a broken world. Just this last week or so, the tech companies have been called into question, and the Congress is saying to the tech companies, what you're doing with Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and all of the different methods for sharing is you're creating a world where people can't measure up. No matter what we do, somebody's willing to pass judgment on it. Many times the judgment that they pass is so damaging that people are led even to suicide because they can't be the perfect person that the world says that they need to be. And social media has made it possible for those judgments to be expressed. In fact, now we call it shaming. We shame people because of all kinds of things. And that's not the way that we ought to be living. That's not what we as Christians have to deal with. We're free to anticipate God's judgment. And we don't have to worry about the judgment that's passed by the people that are around us. It's such a wonderful thing to know that God is so benevolent. God is so willing to call us before his judgment seat and to mete out what we have really deserved. In 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, the Apostle Paul talks about some of the things that were going on there in Corinth. And we've all read the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, and we know how terribly judgmental that church could be. They called Paul's apostleship into question. They said, well, the reason that he didn't take any money for his preaching was because he knows the value of his preaching. It didn't seem to matter what the apostle Paul did. Somebody in Corinth was going to make some judgment about the apostle and about what he had done. Now, we've all lived through that kind of a situation. I remember when I was teaching at Eastern Washington University, there's an app that's available to college students. It's called RateYourProfessor.com. And it didn't matter what you did. Somebody was going to give you a bad rating on RateYourProfessor.com. It's amazing to me, but not everybody likes to study mathematics. And because that's what I taught statistics. A lot of people didn't like me as a professor, but it was because of what I taught. I remember going to faculty meetings and people would pull out RateYourProfessor.com and we would rake each other over the coals because of the things that somebody had said about us on RateYourProfessor.com. I think the Apostle Paul, if he went to an apostles meeting, they probably would rake each other over the coals because of what was said on RateYourApostle.com. Well, this is the way the Apostle Paul said that he dealt with all of the things that were going on there in Corinth and all of the judgments that were passed. 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter at verse 3 beginning, he says, with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing against myself. I know nothing against myself, yet I am not hereby justified. He that judges me is the Lord. Now let's think about what the apostle has said, and let's consider different parts of the apostle's statement. He says, with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you. It's just not that important. I know that they were going to make judgments. And the Apostle Paul could have said, you know, what I need to do is I need to find the people that like me and associate with only those people. He didn't do that. Remember, Paul did have those that were in Corinth who thought that he was a really good preacher. They thought that the things that he wrote were tremendous. The things that he said were tremendous. And Paul could have said, I think I'll just go talk to those folks because they like me. Remember, in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, he said, some people said, I am of Paul, and some people said I am of Peter, and some people said I am of Apollos. So Paul could have said, I think I'll go stick with those people that like me. He didn't say that. Whether you liked him or didn't like him, Paul said, it's just not really very important whether you like me or don't like me. It's not really very important how you make a judgment about me, whether you like me or you don't like me. The easy response is to say, well, you know, I'll just hang around those people that like me. He said, I'm not really worried about any man's judgment. This word judgment is an interesting word because it's the word day, the day that we're called into question. When you go to court, you have a date that's appointed for you to appear in court, and the judge is going to make a decision about you on that day. So when the Apostle Paul says, I'm not worried about man's judgment, I'm not worried about the day that the apostle is going to make a judgment. I don't let that bother me that I'm going to be called into court. I don't know if you've ever gotten a speeding ticket, but I did. I one time got a ticket for failure to yield a right of way. I was trying to pull out of a parallel parking space on the street and I got hit. And I decided that I was going to go to court and I was going to defend myself. I was anxious to go to court because I thought I was going to find a judge there who was going to say, you didn't deserve that ticket that you got. And I didn't work out that way. I went to court. The judge said, well, it turns out that there's just really no legal way to get out of a parallel parking space. You did fail to yield the right of way and you got the ticket for it. You also got hit in the driver's side door. It doesn't matter what the day is. Whether you think you're going to be upheld or you think you're going to be demeaned. We just went to a wedding and I know that Denise was looking forward to the day of her wedding because she was going to walk down the aisle in that white dress. She was going to be the prettiest girl at the wedding. And she looked forward to that. She'd have probably not looked forward to it nearly as much if she thought she was going to walk down the aisle and everybody was going to be pointing at her, saying, boy, that's just the ugliest dress I've ever seen. So it doesn't matter. The next thing that the Apostle Paul says is, I judge not my own self. I don't even make judgments about myself. And I think maybe that's the hardest thing to cope with. When we know that we're going to be judged, when we know that there are people who are going to express an opinion about everything that we do or say, we tend to take that on and make judgments about ourselves before we ever have to face the judgment that somebody else is going to make. Paul says, I don't do that. I'm not going to fall prey to what the world thinks about the things that I do. The apostle says, I don't even make a judgment about myself. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to enjoy that kind of an approach to the people that are around you? That it wouldn't matter a whole lot to you whether they approved or disapproved? That you wouldn't make a judgment about yourself? You know, the New Yorker magazine just recently ran an article that talked about how Facebook knows that the things that are posted on Facebook will even cause some kids, and it turns out that kids are especially vulnerable to this, it'll even cause some kids to commit suicide because they can't measure up. We develop this sense of self that's dictated by the things that people say about us. And Paul says, I'm not going to do that. I don't have to do that. The apostle goes on, he says, I know nothing against myself. And this is from the American Standard Translation. It differs quite a bit from the way that the King James reads. The King James suggests, I know nothing by myself. I think the American Standard has probably captured the essence of the thought better, saying, I know nothing against myself, yet am I not hereby justified? It's not that the Apostle Paul says, I know that I have not sinned, and therefore I'm acceptable to God. Paul says, that's not important either. The apostle said later, I've lived in all good conscience until this day. But he also knew that there was a time when he had persecuted the church. He knew that when he was known as Saul, he had consented to the death of Stephen, had gone on the road to Damascus so that he could find Christians and bring them in chains back to Jerusalem and they could be held to account. So Paul knew that there were some things in his past that he had done, but the apostle says, I know nothing against myself. Even if I did know something against myself, that knowledge is not what condemns me or justifies me. But then he gets to the most important point of all. He that judges me is the Lord. Here's the crux of the matter. He said in Romans, who are you that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. We are servants of God. We can revel in the fact that God is the one who's going to judge us. He knows our hearts. He knows our activities. And sometimes our activities don't measure up to our heart. Sometimes we fool ourselves and say, well, that's not really what I was trying to do. God knows. And he's going to call us to judgment. And that judgment is going to result in eternal life or eternal damnation. But we can rest assured that God judges fairly. God judges what we have done. So the apostle, recognizing that God judges, doesn't worry about man's judgment. Now, if you're not a freed person, you don't revel in the fact that God is going to judge, because that's part of being a freed person. If you're not a freed person, you're still trying to deal with what you've done based on the tools that the old broken world is going to give you. And that tool is really whether other people approve of you or don't. But we can stand with God. What a tremendous blessing it is to be able to know that we get to stand before God. Now, it's a little scary knowing that God is going to actually open the book and he will know what we've done and what we've thought. But he sent his son to die for us. You know, Kevin, as he was talking about our participation in the supper, talked about the value of the sacrifice that God had made so that we could stand justified before him. We can be so excited about that. Ralph talked about children of God and how God made a sacrifice, and all we have to do is put that sacrifice on. What a great thing it is. We want you to think about whether you want to live by the judgments that the world makes, or even the judgments that you make about yourself, or whether you want to live by God's judgments. Put on Jesus. Become one of God's children. Become one of God's servants. And stand or fall based on what God decides, what God values. If there's anything we can do to help you to put on Jesus, we want you to let us know. And we will do everything that we can to help you put him on in baptism. You can decide at 2:30 in the afternoon. You could decide at 2:30 in the morning. But just let somebody know. They'll be so excited to help you. So excited to see you released from the judgments, the awful judgments that people make about you.